For the last several weeks, we've been reflecting on, in our stewardship series, what it means for us to experience this abundant living. Pastor Mark, Pastor Cindy started us off to preach on this abundance and looking at our time and our resources. And today we reflect upon a scripture that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Here, Paul's message of abundance. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we give thanks for your abundance and give thanks to those who have served, those who give, Lord, open our ears to hear your word, open our minds so that we can understand, and open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I was flipping through the TV channels the other day, and couldn't quite find anything on TV. You know, when I was like 8 years old, there was like 9 channels and there was always something on, but now we have 200 channels and it seems like there's nothing on. Well, I was flipping through the channels and got kind of bored and just left a channel on, and I went to get something to eat in the kitchen, and I could like see in the distance that there was like a movie on that looked like really good, and it looked like Braveheart, and I hadn't seen Braveheart in a long time, and I was like, man, that's just a great epic story and movie. But as I kind of looked a little closer, I saw that the movie wasn't Braveheart, because the warriors that were standing in this big battle formation ready to go into war and battle, they weren't Celtic, but they were like Vikings. But I heard the commander from the other room on the TV talking to his troops, giving a motivational war talk. And he started to say, for too long we have lived in tyranny. You know, that kind of that real up voice, you know. And I was thinking, oh man, this movie's going to be good. And the army growled in agreement. I thought, man, this is going to be a great movie. It's great battles. It's going to be really interesting. There's going to be big fight scenes and everything. But then something odd happened. Something weird happened. I heard someone interrupt the commander. And I heard a different voice of this person who interrupted the commander. And he gave his motivational speech. For too long, we have settled for single miles on our credit cards, but no more. It was Alec Baldwin. And it was the Capital One Venture Card commercial. And he said, you'll earn double miles with every purchase every day. Oh, tricked. Thought I was going to watch a great epic battle movie. What do Vikings have to do with credit cards anyway? Like, how has that worked? How is that a thing? But for years, Capital One has used Vikings and Alec Baldwin and Samuel Jackson and Jennifer Garner in their effective marketing campaign. And at the end of every commercial, what do they say? What's in your wallet? Look, you're already prime, marketing prime, to sign up for their card. But it's effective. It's effective in signing people up, because these these commercials with these Vikings have been around for like 15, 16, 17 years. It gets the message through. I mean, how many marketing campaigns do you know about that have had the same logo marketing for that long? What's in your wallet? It's so effective. It's fascinating. St. Paul didn't have catchy mottos, didn't have commercials or DirecTV or Vikings or Alec Baldwin to get his message through. All he had were his letters. Paul utilized the highest technology of the day, which were letters, to get across his message. Live generously. As we've been reflecting on the stewardship series, Living Abundantly, we've been taking a closer look at our stewardship, that how do we generously use our time and talents and money and resources to God through the church? And today, we get critical insight into how Paul instructed the Christians in Corinth how to live abundantly. We know quite a bit about Paul and his concern for the churches in Corinth and the Christians there. And Paul had visited Corinth, but it didn't exactly work out that well. They kind of kicked him out. See, the Christians there in Corinth, they had a lot of problems. You know, they weren't allowing people to come to communion, weren't observing it correctly. They were living immorally. They weren't providing the needs for those in their church. And the believers there had trouble with other believers eating meat from markets that may or may not have been used in pagan sacrifice. All sorts of these things. But ultimately, these problems, these behaviors were symptoms of a greater spiritual problem, a stewardship problem. When Paul returned to Ephesus, he wrote the Corinthians a letter, and the text says that he wrote out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears. Paul had a visceral reaction to his concern for the Corinthians and his love for them and for him to desire for them to live abundantly in Christ. Paul wanted the Corinthians to be generous, but their selfishness was getting in the way. Paul saw that the Corinthians weren't giving from a place of love, for he stated that they were not to give under manipulation, but from joy, abundance, from generosity. These Corinthians apparently were preoccupied with hoarding what they had. They were worried that there wasn't enough to go around. They saw scarcity, but Paul saw abundance in what they all had. And that type of mentality of scarcity, it does all types of things to your heart and your mind. The Corinthians weren't struggling with the world's problems. They were struggling with spiritual problems, and their hearts needed a change. When I was 14 years old, I went on my first mission trip to Pikeville, Kentucky. Now, if you don't know where Pikeville is, it's in the most rural parts of eastern Kentucky from the Appalachian Mountains. Now, there's a stereotype that most of these people are hillbillies, and since my family descended from Appalachia, I can say that many of them are, but that's not the complete stereotype. They're not all walking around with banjos or stuff like that. But these people, and my ancestors as well, lived in a type of absolute destitute rural poverty. You know, in Syracuse, we see inner city poverty, but this was a mission trip to address the issues of rural poverty. And we were sent to people's whose homes were just literally falling apart. And I remember my group, we drove up to our work site, an elderly couple who lived by themselves at their home, and I saw that the roof was like caving in and the siding had holes and they didn't have running water or a septic system. They had plumbing, but everything in their plumbing went down the pipes and went out a pipe at the back of their house down to the creek. I could hardly believe the living conditions these elderly people lived in. the roof leaked badly. And we were there to replace the roof. And as we got on the roof, we were taking off the old shingles and we're counting the layers. There were one, two layers of aluminum, layers of roofing, six or seven layers that they just plopped on top to try to keep the rain out. And by making some basic fixes, fixing their roof and their siding and some paint in their house, we improved their lives. They said to us that no one had ever done something like this for them. And there were tears in their eyes as they thanked us and about how moving the experience was. That day, I learned what generous giving can do. On the trip, every youth and adult, see, we all had to pay our own way and give a donation for the supplies. And we had to sleep on the floors of a middle school gym. Now, I don't know if you've slept on the floor of a middle school gym lately, but they can be pretty stinky places, you know. And I know the custodians work hard, but middle schoolers, and I have a middle schooler, they can do some tough damage to those floors. But we had to live out of a middle school gym for a week. However, I began to find an immense joy for the work of God and these people. It also did something else to me. I realized that what these people had was almost nothing, and I realized how much God had given to me. Just a middle-class kid from Maryland, but I had a roof over my head that didn't leak. I had clean water. I had working plumbing, education. They had nothing. And after 20 youth and adults were done with their house, this couple, they had something, and it was good. It was that day I discovered that everything in my life that I had and my parents had wasn't mine or ours, but it was God's, who is the ultimate source and owner of all of our things. It was in that trip that I saw what abundant living looks like. To share freely of one's time and resources and money and talents, to give to God and to give to other people. That trip literally changed my heart about living generously. On that trip, we embraced what St. Paul wrote, who said, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows greatly will also reap greatly. That I found what Paul said, that it was true. Our lives were enriched in every way because of the generosity that we gave. And it resulted in thanksgiving to God. Working in rural Kentucky, I discovered that my heart began to change, that as I freely gave of my time and my ability and fundraising efforts for this trip for people I didn't even know, I found thanksgiving in abundance. And it had to be shared. It had to be shared with God, God's people, God's church, and the people who God loves. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly. I want us to stop for a moment this morning and to ask ourselves the question, am I living this abundance? Maybe if you're not living abundantly, that maybe we have some things that are blocking our capacity to live this abundance that Paul was writing about to the Corinthians. You know, there's a difference between having a full life, you know, lots of things in our life which are good, you know. We have church and we have kids' activities and we go to concerts and places and commitments and we volunteer and all those things are good, but is all those things abundant? Are all those things abundance? And the ultimate decider is if we have a full life or an abundant life, is that abundance the stuff of God? Many times when we have a full life, sometimes we find ourselves with a burned out life. As I thought this week about Capital One, what's in your wallet, I thought about one of my favorite characters in all of film and television and theater. You know who my favorite character is? George Costanza from Seinfeld. He's the guy you love to hate. See, George is always getting in his own way in very, very comical ways. And every time he tries something, he sabotages his own life. And he's self-centered and he's rude and he's always looking for the easy way out. And the episode ends hilariously in failure because George, he doesn't have the capacity to look beyond himself. And in one episode, he's sitting at the diner with Jerry and Elaine, his friends, and he pulls out his wallet, and they're all amazed that he has this wallet that's like this big. And he puts it back, and he's sitting to one side, and they're like, George, look at that wallet. You're leaning to one side. And he takes a wad of napkins, and he shoves it down his other backside to even him out. That's how big this wallet was. And his friend Jerry picks up his lunch, his hamburger, and says, George, there's more beef in that wallet than in this burger. See, George, he's got all these things in there. He's got ticket stubs, good for one for offer. He's got Irish money. He has a ticket that says, turn in this ticket to any participating Orlando Exxon station to get your free Save the Tiger poster. He's got all this stuff in there, business cards and money, and it's like this big. Well, there's a point at the episode where George walks by in the street, and he sees one of those offers that you can tear off that says, good for one free guitar lesson. So he thinks, huh. So he pulls out his wallet, and it's like this big, and he puts it in the wallet, and he's trying to close it, and it explodes, and all his stuff goes all over the street. And he's mad, and he's trying to pick everything up, and he's freaking out. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been accused of having a George Costanza wallet. I mean, look at this thing. You see how thick it is? It's pretty big. I got tons of stuff in here. I mean, I got credit cards. I got, some money, but I got my punch card for a pizza place. And it's like I hang on to all these, like, notes and business cards. I got a gift card in here. I don't even know if it works. I don't know if there's any money on it. I even have a punch card here. This is my Ricky's Rice Bowl in Washington, D.C. restaurant. That just in case I'm back in D.C., that I can get my ticket stamped so on my 12th bowl of rice and beef, I get a free one. You know, one day I went in and I used this when I was in D.C. and they say, sir, we haven't used this in 10 years. What are you doing with it? You know, I put all my stuff in my wallet. I got a picture of my wife on our wedding day. Oh, that's a good thing. You know, there's Capital One wants to know what's in your wallet. But I think our lives are like wallets. They can only hold so much stuff until, like George Costanza, it explodes. As we think about stewardship, instead of thinking about Capital One, what's in your wallet, I think the better question is, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? See, the Corinthians, they put a lot of cluttered things in their spiritual wallets. Things that clog their ability to be generous. And I think we do the same. We fill our stuff with, there's plenty of good things in our life, but there comes a point when there's so much in our life and it's full that we don't have anything else to give. We don't have any room in our life to be generous. If our lives are like wallets, how full are they with stuff? God's stuff? How full are our commitments of our time and our resources expended away from God and God's church? Our lives can easily become a Costanza wallet full of stuff. But there's some stuff in our life that gets in the way. Living abundantly, according to Paul, is this. we see that part of our spiritual and personal life involves how generous we are. May you, in this season of stewardship, have a change in heart to see the things that are blocking your capacity for abundant living, abundant generosity. May you, in this season of stewardship, open your heart. Open your heart to how God is calling you to let go of some things so that you may take up more of God's things here at DeWitt Community Church. May you be generous with your time, your talents, your money, and your resources to God and to others through our congregation. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for all that we have in our abundance. Lord, help us as we reflect on the Corinthians, that we see, God, that we don't live in the margins of scarcity, but help us to see the abundance. And God, maybe there's some things that hold us back from this abundant life, that hold us back from generosity. God, our lives and our hearts can be cluttered with so many things, but God, help us to begin to free up more of our heart and our time and our talents to give to you and to others proportionately to the work of your ministry in our church, in our lives, and around the world. We ask all this in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.